Well, shalom from Billy, Brim, and Shelley. I say good morning to you, but it's afternoon, late afternoon for us, 4 o'clock in the afternoon here at the Yam, that's Sea Hamelach, salt. The Bible calls it the Salt Sea. It's come to be called the Dead Sea. And we're having a few days here. I had some days in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv rather, where we had business meetings regarding the interior of how our wonderful new prayer and study center, which it looks like we can see the light at the end of the tunnel as to getting started on that. And so those went well. I appreciate your prayers. And now Shelley and I think what we're on, Shelley, third day down here, second or third day. And this is an amazing place. This is where I'm starting my tours, usually. It's just a place that's so unique in the earth. It is the place of Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you want to read why it was judged, which is right in line with Romans chapter 1, that's a good read for you. We're going to study it. But I'm down here, and I'm such a healthy person in my life, so healthy. But there is one thing that I fought throughout my life, and that is psoriasis, which is a skin problem. But I found this place years ago, and what treats the sun best, treats psoriasis and makes it go away is the sun. You can't get the sun at home because you're too close to it and it's dangerous. But down here, this is the lowest place on earth. What made it the lowest place on earth? Well, read how God rained out of the sky, judgment upon this place, which made it to be the lowest place on earth. It was a fruitful place when Lot looked and chose it, you know, over what Abraham had. But God changed that. Now, when you lie in the sun here, you can have up to 5 hours a day, really healthy sun. And so you have lots of time for meditating. And one day I was saying, Lord, what about this place? Because you see people here. There are hotels up and down this shore, and you see people come in here with rheumatism, psoriasis, and there's another skin disease. I don't know what you call it, but it's where the pigment shrinks up. It starts with a B, I think. But people come here, and it's just amazing. And I said to the Lord, what about this place? And he said, you see them come in on crutches, and then if you stay a while, you'll see them walking quite well. And they discovered it when they had to bring their soldiers here. They were in early wars, and they had soldiers. The Israelis would have soldiers that got injured, and they would put them here by the Salt Sea, and they noticed that they got well very quickly. So in meditating about it, I said, Lord, what about this? And he said, this is a sign to the earth, though they don't read it, that even in judgment, I can bring blessing. And so it's a blessing for me to get to stay here. I've had an outbreak kind of recently, not a big one, but an outbreak. And already I've been in the sun a couple of days, and it's going away. And the group, 3BI Billy Brim Bible Institute, is meeting us here tomorrow evening. And we're going to start right here with our study. And then we're going to go down to Beersheba, because that was so... In the Bible, the three patriarchs had visions there, and we're going down to study from there and go on up as we have this course. We've hired an Israeli film crew. I've yet to see the final build, but we've paid some of it already, and praise the Lord for that. And we're going to produce a really fine, we tried to do it before, but our sound didn't do right when we were doing it. But now CBN, Chris Mitchell, their anchor in Jerusalem, has put us together with a film crew, and we're going to have a wonderful product. You will all want to take that 3BI course when it's available. Of course, 3BI has been online now. What? Oh, 2 weeks. 2 weeks old. Praise God. I'm just so thrilled. We've been working on it for over a year, putting together classes, and it is just an amazing thrill to my soul as a way, because, you know, I just want to teach these things that God is. Let me witness, and now we have a way to do it. I'm so thankful, so thankful. And we welcome all of you who have signed up to be 3BI students. You can find out about it online, billybrim.org. Well, now here in the land, the people don't seem to be much concerned or alarmed about anything that's happening over the Gaza border. or not even too much about what's happening over the northern border. But people here have got their eyes on the election, the third election, which will be March 2nd. Shelley and I will be here. The tour will still be here. Right. And so there was an article in the paper today that kind of gives you an insight to things. And it was by Bennett. It announces Naftali Bennett is the head of the Yamina Party. The Yamina Party, Yamina is your right hand to the right. So here's the headline in the Jerusalem Post. Bennett fights against voter defection in appeal to Anglo voters. So he was speaking to some English-speaking voters. In particular, he attacked the Likud without directly mentioning Netanyahu's name as not being sufficiently right-wing. Netanyahu's party is the Likud. Many parties run. They have to be able to put together a government of 61 seats. There are 120 seats in the entire Knesset. So, this is the article. The critical electoral challenge facing the Yamina Party in the upcoming elections was laid clear Tuesday night by a question posed to Yamina leader and defense minister Naftali Bennett by a troubled voter who above all wants to preserve the governance of the Israeli right wing. So here's the lady's question. Her name is Chaya, which is the same as Eve. If I want to stop Benny Gantz becoming prime minister, wouldn't it be better for me to vote for the Likud than Yamina? Bennett described the query as the most important question of the night and took pains to argue that what was crucial was the overall size of the right-wing camp, not which is the biggest party. So now this helps you a little bit to understand it. As Shelley and I were having dinner with Ronnie and Alma Levy, so the party of the Likud, which is Netanyahu, has put together a block. And in that block, they're going to all stick together. He's put together some right-wing religious parties. He's put together with and already has Naftali Bennett signed up that the Yamina Party is going to go in a block with the Likud. So, Ronnie explained it to me. Even if the blue and white party, there are two big parties here. Likud, Netanyahu, and blue and white, Benny Gantz. He said, now, even if Benny Gantz and blue and white would get as many seats or one or two more seats than Netanyahu's party, they still can't win because they don't have a block. Likud has a block. Yamina's in the block. Others are in the block. So this lady's saying, you're all going to vote as a block anyway. What would it hurt if I vote for Likud and don't vote for you? And so Bennett's trying to keep people from switching. Now, Alma, Ronnie's wife, she told us she's going to switch. She voted for the Yamina party, and now she's going to switch back to voting for Netanyahu. Ronnie voted for Netanyahu the last time, and he's praying about what to do this time, but probably he'll go that way again. So it does mean a little bit stronger within the parties, but they're all going to be a block anyway. Now, Ronnie said they're all good men. He said, I could be friends with anybody who's the head of these parties. They're good people that are running. But he said, and he told me, and I know it, he used to not like Netanyahu at all because Netanyahu years ago gave away Hebron. But now he said, Billy, you know that I was against Netanyahu, but now I know that our country has had good government and we've had good things happening. And we need to put Netanyahu back in leadership. He needs to be back in leadership. I read another op-ed article today that it's so important because of his good relationship with our president, the president of the United States, Donald John Trump. And so that vote is coming up March 2nd. You can pray about it. Bless the Lord. people are a little bit, you know, kind of tired of having votes and elections. And there are many people who are saying that it's going to go to a fourth election. I don't know. But right now, the way things are, Netanyahu is serving as the prime minister. Now, something is changing. He has been indicted. He has been indicted, and his trial date has been set for March 17. March 2nd is the election. March 17 is his trial date. And the headline said, "Will Netanyahu have the luck of the Irish during the St. Patrick's Day trial?" 2 weeks after the election, the prime minister will be in the courtroom listening to the reading of his charges of bribery, fraud, and breach of trust. So how will this affect the March 2nd election? Question. All current evidence would imply not at all. All prior stages of his indictment did not affect the polls in any way. The public, which once bristled when police recommended indicting then Prime Minister Olmert, has been unmoved as Netanyahu's cases have advanced far beyond that stage in the legal process. They have gotten used to having a prime minister under a cloud, just like for people who live where it rains all the time. It has become a normal part of life. So, oh my goodness, my goodness. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful? Of course, we'll be there where the government is perfect in heaven, but won't it be wonderful on earth when they do have the right king? But right now it is important. It's important to God. It's important to the people. Bless the Lord. And so that's one of the things that we're going to pray about and that you should be praying about is that election and their head of state. Now, we have folks online this morning. I noticed particularly when you signed in from Ohio and Louisiana. And today, here's a headline. Netanyahu meets with Republicans after Temple Mount visit. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with visiting Republican Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana and Jim Jordan of Ohio. Folks, they went to the places where I would take someone if I wanted them to see how things really are. They went to Hebron, Shelley. They went to see really how it is. So if I were you folks in Ohio and Louisiana, I'd be thankful that they did that. And I don't know if they're running for office again, but if they were, I'd see that somebody who understands about Israel is, bless the Lord, mm-hmm. it is being considered or is in office. Now, 9,000 new Israeli homes are planned for East Jerusalem. Here we have, Jerusalem has been divided. The Israelis got back East Jerusalem, and East Jerusalem is biblical Jerusalem. West Jerusalem is what the Israelis built new when they weren't allowed in East Jerusalem. East Jerusalem is biblical Jerusalem. It's the Temple Mount. It's all the places, David's city. It's all the places of the Bible. And the Garden Tomb is there. Now, the place of the crucifixion is there. So that's East Jerusalem. And for 19 years, it was in the hands, only 19 years, but for 19 years, it was in the hands of Jordan. Then when Jordan attacked Israel in the Six-Day War, Israel won it back. So in that territory, in that area, Benjamin Netanyahu has already built a huge neighborhood called Har Homah. Oh, my goodness, we were involved in some of that. And now he's planned for 9,000 new Israeli homes to be built in East Jerusalem. The article says most of the land involved in the plan is considered government property and would not be taken from private owners. The Housing Administration filed a request for the construction of 9,000 Israeli homes in the Atarot area east of East Jerusalem. Peace Now reported this on Tuesday. Peace Now is a leftist group. They're Jews, but they're leftists. And I think we have some comparable people in the U.S. They don't want anything to be done It's to the right at all. And so they're furious about this. And they think that it has to do with the president's peace plan and all kinds of things. They're just jumping through the hoops about it. But the announcement came, and just as the transportation ministry has advanced plans to extend the Jerusalem-Tel Aviv high-speed train to the Western Wall from the airport, Ben-Gurion. Folks, this would be great if they had a high-speed train from the airport to Jerusalem and the Western Wall. So bless the Lord. Now, I want you to understand this paragraph so that you can understand a little bit of what we've been going through to get Migdal or Bel. Now, this is a government project, and here is what the article said, this little paragraph. The approval process includes a bureaucratic stage involving preparation in the planning departments of the municipality and the planning administration, which will take several months. Afterwards, the plan will be placed before the District Planning and Building Committee for approval, and if approved, will be filed for public review. After any objections are heard, the plan will be placed before the district committee again for a final approval. The whole process should take a few years. Now, that's what the government doing it. You can imagine we've been through all of these very same things. The planning department, they made us change the plan. And we changed the plans, and they knew we're not going to build the new plans, but they wanted the new plans to comply with something, even knowing we're going to go to the old plan. And we've been through all of these things. We had to file and have the public review. See if the public, one man came against us, but that was handled pretty quickly. Then we had to go for all these compliance things after the objections are heard. So we've been there. We've done that. And they say, that we're through all this bureaucratic things, although what's left seems a little bureaucratic to me. We had 15 things we had to get done. We've done all those 15 things, and they approved them. And now they have a few more, and we have to pay some taxes. And it looks like that our building permit will be in our hands in about 6 months. So it could be quicker. It could be quicker. And so I would really ask you to do that. Would you please, please, in your prayers, say, please make it quicker, Lord, and bring the money. Bless the Lord for it to be quickly done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's pray now about Israel before we switch to the United States. Heavenly Father, you love this place. You love these people. There are special people in your plan. And all through all the times that they've been on this earth, Lord, I've been reading and studying about Old Testament times. And we see the enemy right there. When you marked, when you said in Genesis, there's going to come the seed of a woman, we've seen the enemy staked out against your plans ever since then. We saw how he came through and how he tried against Abraham. He tried against Jacob and the 12 tribes. And Father, right up into this day. But now, there's a group on this earth. There's a group on this earth. Our Savior came. The Messiah came. He raised from the dead. And it says in Ephesians that you raised him up the head over a body. And every one of us on this call, Lord, I don't know yet how many there are, but it's up close to 1,000. Dear Father, and you have told us that as we seat in the seat of authority on the earth because we have earth suits, but oh my, when you raise the head, you raise the body together with him. When you seated the head, you seated the body together with him, and now we are seated at the right end of the Father, and we know we're praying according to your will. And you said if we ask anything according to your will, we have it. We know it's your will to bless Israel. And Father, in the name above all names. You said to us, if you see some committing sin and it's not the sin of the death, ask for forgiveness. Lord, I ask you to forgive any national sins that they may have. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, I am asking you, and we are asking you together as a block. We have a block. We have a block here of about 1,000 seats. And we're coming up with one voice right up there to the Father God. And we're saying and asking to you that there be an end to this nonsense of election after election after election, costing them money, 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 and leaving them in a state of confusion. We do praise you and thank you that they are one when it comes to defense and standing for this nation of Israel. But Father, we do ask you for a clear and decisive victory. I don't know who it is you want. I can tell you how I would vote if it were me, Father. I would vote for Netanyahu based on what's happened and based on his friendship with Donald Trump. But that means nothing if it's not your will. And Father, in the name above all name, we ask that your will be done. And in the name above all names, I am asking for this 6 months that they say now to get our, that shortens, that it shortens, at least half, that it shortens and that we have our monies to begin. I know the many things you've still told me about this place, Migdal Arbel, now and in the future. And so, Father, in the name above all names, I want to thank you and praise you for helping us with that meeting the other day and for helping us now as we are working on some legalities. It's looking really good. You've been so good to guide us and lead us. Thank you for leading Ronnie and Ethan and my son and our lawyers. Father, we thank you for thinking through their minds. We ask you to do it and think through their minds, Lord. Oh, how we do worship and adore you. And Father, this trip coming, they're coming here, Father. They're going to get on those planes tonight. And I'm asking you to bless them in their seats and to visit them with your presence and to keep their bodies as they make the trip, to make everything smooth and easy. And we stand against any mechanical difficulties, anything at all in the name, above all names, we place under the blood of the covenant. And every plane, I think there are two they're coming on, nose to tail, wingtip to wingtip, under the precious blood. Father, we worship you and adore you. And we're trusting you for every step of the way. And Father, help us with the movie filming. Kylie can't be here. And dear God, in the name of the Lord, we just ask you to help us to still know what you want and to have everything go smoothly there. We will be trusting you every day. We will be trusting you every step of the way. And thank you, Father, for the content of the school. And I want to thank you for every student who's already online and already taking the school. Oh, God, I'm so glad to be there with them in their homes. And bring us all into a greater knowledge. Oh, in him, the eyes of our understanding be enlightened in him and toward him, in whom are all the treasures of the Godhead bodily. Bless the Lord. Now, of course, I saw today, this is in the paper, they follow closely what's happening in the White House here. And it says, White House is quietly trimming dozens of national security experts and downsizing by lots and lots of people. And here they suspect that it might be to get rid of what Compass called the deep state. I don't know what it is, but I know that when we pray for our president, we pray for him to have direction from our Father, direction and protection. Bless the Lord. And I know you're doing that as you go before the Lord every day. Now, as to the coronavirus, surely that you are doing this. When you're sitting in your seats in the mornings, in your habitational seats of authority, you are drawing lines, bloodlines, and not letting that coronavirus in to our nation and to our places of habitation. We do make the Lord our habitation. And this is Psalm 91, beginning with the 9th verse. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon thou shalt trample underfoot. Then our Lord says to us, because you have set your love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So here we are told that if we make the Lord our seat, and he is our seat, we dwell in the shadow of Shaddai, and we take our authority, there shall no plague come nigh our dwelling of the United States of America, our dwelling of our family, the tents that we live in, our human bodies, and the areas of our habitation. So right now, along with you, Father, in the name above all names, we are seated in our seats of authority. I attempted to write down, and I wrote down here about 35 states, because I got online a little bit late. And, of course, we have the Netherlands, we have Canada. And, Father, here we are, and we're sitting in our seats of authority, and we are saying no coronavirus. No coronavirus in our area of habitation, in the area with which we have, over which we have dominion. No plague shall come nigh our dwellings. It shall not enter. It shall not enter into Greater Tulsa. It shall not enter into Greater Branson, Greater McDowell. It shall not enter into Greater Bartlesville. It shall not enter into the areas over Prayer Mountain and the Arkansas line where we are. And it shall not enter here at the Yom HaMelech, the Dead Sea. There will be none of that here in the name above all names. It's greater than any virus named coronavirus. And so, Father, we speak stopping to it in the name above all names. Now, folks, I want to caution you. When you take authority over it and you speak for it stop, then don't with your mouth report how it is progressing. Don't with your mouth start telling everybody how far and wide it's going. So out of our mouths, that's what you call a double seed. You're sowing in the realm of faith, and then you're sowing in the realm of darkness as well. And so we want to sow the realm of faith and the realm of speaking what we want. And what we want is that there shall be none. I believe what God told Brother Hagin. Nothing happens in the United States of America that the church does not allow to happen. We are that church. We are the body of Christ. And folks, I'm thrilled because I think we're that company. We, along with others. I'm talking about the body of Christ who's knowledgeable in these things. We are that company that has come up, that knows to use our authority and does it. And we're using our authority, and we will not allow the coronavirus to run rampant, to even enter into our dwellings. In the name above all names, I love you. I appreciate your prayers. And I'll start reporting on the blog on our trips as we go. So we invite you to join us there. Love you. Blessings.
Shalom.
Shalom.